We are in Romans chapter 4. We are going to finish the chapter today. Romans chapter 4. Looking at Abraham's belief. Romans chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse 18. Go to the end of the chapter. In hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken. So shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, also, it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this truth. The truth, Lord, that Abraham's belief was based upon something that we have also, the truth. Lord God, it was based upon what you said. And Father, we have what you have said. Father, I pray that as we look at this truth, that we would again recognize the faith of Abraham and that it needs to be our faith. We love you. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. We've come to this place in Romans. The writer of Romans, Paul, has written about the justification by faith alone. And he explains that as he goes through. He starts out by telling the importance of the gospel, and then what we saw in the chapter 1 and 2 and actually 3, what we saw is the condemnation of evil people, of moral people, of religious people, of people who were ceremonially right. Yet they're all condemned under Jesus, under whatever system of religion they have without Jesus Christ. So we looked at that, and then he's bringing out Old Testament examples here. So we get to chapter 4. He's talked about Abraham and David, but he's talking about the Old Testament examples because he's speaking to a group that would have known that. He's speaking to the Jewish mindset, to a mindset that was wrapped around their heritage. And what he's given so far is that Abraham had faith. It wasn't because of his works. Ceremonialism wasn't the key. The law wasn't the key. We looked at that last week. And what I want to look at this week is, as we finish it out, it's an explanation of Abraham's faith. An explanation of Abraham's faith. As we get into this, verse 18, we're going to look at the fact that it's not rational, humanly. Verse 18, in hope against hope, he believed. Now, that's a huge thing right there. Because literally it says, against hope upon hope. Against hope upon hope. In other words, there was no hope, yet hope. There was no hope from which to hope. It was an impossible thing. What God had told Abraham was humanly impossible. And yet, he still believed. Look what it says. In hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Remember, God took him out and said, look up into the stars, count the stars, so shall your descendants be. He said, I will make of you a great nation, and all the nations will be blessed. God said this to Abraham, and Abraham believed it. But Abraham looked at himself and said, I don't think I understand that, okay? And he didn't understand it. He couldn't have understood. In fact, he admitted that to God. He said, well, wait a second. I've got a servant. You know, you remember me? I'm 75 here, and we haven't had a kid. We don't have any children. Remember? But I've got a servant, and he has a child, and that child is the heir of everything I own. So let's use him. All right? So Abraham he believes that what God says is true, that God will make him the father of many nations, that he'll have descendants like crazy. But he said, okay, I can understand it humanly. Here's how to do it. God's saying, no. No, I don't really need your help, is what God is saying. He explained his childlessness to God. And even later when God reiterated the promise, he tried to have Ishmael be the answer to God's problem. Okay? Isn't that amazing? I mean, Abraham saw that, he believed that what God said was true. But God had a problem in it because Abraham didn't have any kids. So I'll help God solve his problem. Okay, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But it's, you know, this whole situation, it's kind of like I know what would happen if I would stand here and say, okay, Raymond and Connie, you're going to have a baby. Or better yet, honey, there would be three people get up and walk out of the church and never come back. Okay, why? Because I don't know what I'm talking about, right? But God said it to Abraham. And Abraham's going, okay, you know, I recognize what you're saying, God, but you know what? I don't have any kids. This isn't humanly, rationally possible. But it was what God said. It was his word. So I want to look at Abraham being strong despite the circumstances. Look in verse 19. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Without becoming weak in faith. And in the original language, it's the negative is a may, which is, it's like, well, when your kids are 2 years old, and they reach over and you say, no. I mean, it's an emphatic no. Okay? That's the emphasis behind here. No weakness. Okay? This is Abraham's life here. He recognized that this isn't humanly possible. He's given God options. Here you go, God, let's try this. Well, let's do this to accomplish that. But you know, if this isn't humanly possible. But there was no weakness in his faith. Even though he contemplated, and the word contemplated is considered carefully or considered closely, he noticed this, he recognized this, how impossible it would be at his age, and how even more impossible it would be at Sarah's age to have any children. It wasn't humanly possible. But look at verse 20. Yet with respect to the, I'm sorry, is that where we're at? Yes, verse 20. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he didn't waver. Now, it's interesting because the word waver means to judge. It's a compound word. It means to judge and the letter or the number two. So it's to judge between two things, or to judge or to go back and forth between two opinions, between what God says and what is really happening here. Okay? Don't we do that quite often? I mean, God says this, but, you know, this is what's going on here. So is God, I mean, how are we going to do this, God? Maybe we can do it by my servant. Oh, better yet, Ishmael. How about Ishmael? Okay? This was Abraham. But he knew that it would happen. He didn't waver. He didn't go back and forth on whether it would, whether it wouldn't. He recognized that God had said it. He contemplated his body, understood that it was humanly impossible, but he did not waver. Now, it's interesting because that word, he did not waver, it's in the passive voice, which means God increased it. God built him in that unwaveringness. God put it in him. He chose to believe that what God said was true. And God increased that belief to where there wasn't even a waver of, no, it can't be true. All right? Not only that, but it says later on there, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. That word grew strong in faith, again, is in the passive voice. It's because of faith, his faith in God's grace, that God worked. God increased that faith. God built that faith. So where he wasn't wavering and he was growing strong in the faith, even to the point of giving grace to God, even to the point of in an ongoing manner, as a participle, in an ongoing manner, praising God, giving grace to God, or glory, not grace, giving glory to God because of what he has said. Because, look at verse 29, being fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Abraham tried to perform God's promise on his own way, by his own way. Okay, he tried the servant deal when he was 75. That didn't work. So when he was 99, God came to him again and said, hey, this is still going to happen. He's going, okay, well, I got Ishmael. He's 13, you know. Hey, how about him? All right, he tried his own way. Sir, she was willing to help. Look, here's my handmaiden. Take her and have a baby, and then, you know, we can. Then God's promise will work. You know what that's caused? I mean, who are the main enemies of Israel even today? Ishmael's descendants. Okay? So when Abraham helped out God, it created an issue long down the road. So God doesn't really need the help. But Abraham was fully assured. Look what it says in verse 21. Being fully assured. Fully assured was not second guessing, not guessing if God was right, but knowing that God is right. And that, again, is in the passive voice. God put that full assurance into Abraham. He was fully assured, and yet there was a problem. It says in verse 21, being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able. The word able is that word dunamos. It's big enough or strong enough. It's where we get our word dynamite from. God was powerful enough to handle it. Even though he didn't understand how, he was trying to help him how. Why? Well, what's it say back in verse 17? How's it describe God? Even God who gives life to the dead, calls into being that which does not exist. Gives life to what dead? To Abraham's deadness, to Sarah's deadness. You see how it all goes back? To the belief system. Abraham believed, in fact, in Hebrews 11, Abraham believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. After he had killed him, he was going to be raised from it. He believed that completely. We see that in Hebrews 11. So nothing is impossible for God. Abraham understood that. God can make anything happen. And God gave specific promises to Abraham. And he believed that God could do them in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the earthly wisdom that had refuted that. He believed that God could do it. He just decided at times to help God. And there is where the problems came into being. I have a couple of quotes. One's from John Calvin. John Calvin wisely observed that believers are never so enlightened that there are no remains of ignorance, nor is the heart so established that there is no misgivings. A Christian who claims to understand all of God's truth and to envision the fulfillment of all of his promises is not demonstrating great faith, but great presumption. Godly faith is not full understanding, but full trust. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This was shown in the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were ordered to worship the image, the golden image, under the threat of death. They calmly said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king, but even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. The overriding concern of these three young men was to honor, obey, and glorify God, just as their forefather Abraham had done. You see the belief there? The belief that no matter what the circumstances are, God can override it. God can do it. But no matter what they are, I will follow what God says. This is what Abraham, and God gave him specific promises. And we'll talk about that in a little while. Now I want to look at the application of this faith. Verses 22 on. Therefore also, here's the application. We've talked about this. That's why I didn't want to spend a lot of time on it. But therefore also, it was credited, that word logizomai, we get our word logic from. It was logically given to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Therefore, it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham didn't do it. And by the way, that's in the passive voice. Abraham didn't do it, but God did. God put righteousness upon him. Remember what Scripture says. He became sin for us. He became filth. He became everything that was against God for us. Jesus did. So that we may, and that word is in the subjunctive, it's a possibility. We have the possibility through belief, through trust, in being the righteousness of God in Christ. So what Jesus did was become everything that was against God in order that we could become everything that was good about God. We can have that placed onto our account. And there is the righteousness that he's talking about. There is the right standing before God. That was credited to Abraham. Now, but look what it says in verse 23. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him. This was an interesting point. Not for his sake. Do you realize that all of Scripture is written about and concerning people's life, but it's not just about them? It's not just for them? Do you realize how much of Scripture is for us? And how what we can learn and see through there? And now take that into today. How much of your life is just about you? Folks, I have kids. I know better. I have grandchildren. I know better. Right? Our life is not simply about us, as much as the world tells you that it is. Grab all the gusto you can. You only go around once, right? As much as the world tells you that, our life is a gift from God for others. Others see us. Others recognize God in our lives. Others see how we live our life and what we do in our life. And oftentimes it's for others. But here specifically, this wasn't written just for his sake, but it was written for ours. Look at verse 24. For our sake also, to whom it will be credited. That word will be is in the present tense. It's not in the future tense. So to whom it is credited, okay? Literally. It is credited as those who believe in him. There's the condition. As those who believe who raised Jesus Christ, in him who raised Jesus Christ our Lord from the dead. This whole aspect of being credited as righteous, do we deserve it? No. No. Do we earn it? Do we work for it? No. Do we need it? Absolutely. That's the only hope that we have. Those who believe in Jesus Christ, in what God has done in the resurrection. And that's an interesting point too, that is the resurrection. And look what it does. Look at verse 25. He who was delivered over, and the word delivered over, you can even, it's so neat, because you get into the original language and it's such a variety of meanings. But the word delivered over can actually mean sold out. He who was sold out by who? By God. Now we look at that as, oh, that's terrible. Well, God sold him out? No. God, we look at it as sold out. He delivered him over. What did he do? He gave Jesus Christ so that we could have salvation. So that we could be forgiven. Look what it says. He was delivered over because of our transgression, which is sin, and was raised because of our justification. What this is saying is because of or on account of our sin, It wasn't his problem. It was ours. He became sin for it. He was handed over because of sin, and he was raised because of justification. In other words, he was handed over on the cross so we could be forgiven. We have forgiveness of sin because of the cross. But he didn't leave it at that. We also have justification because of the resurrection. We could not be forgiven without the cross, but we could not be justified without the resurrection. You realize that? That's why Easter is so important. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is so important. Without the resurrection, we can be forgiven, but we can't be saved. Have you ever had somebody in your life long ago who really messed you up somehow, just did something ridiculous, and just aggravated you to no end? And at this point, over time and over events and everything, you've actually just forgotten all about it. I have people that have misused me and my family or whatever, and I've forgiven them. Forgiven, because I don't even think about them. I don't care. I've forgiven them. But I don't have a relationship with them. Okay? What God did was forgive through the cross, but he made it possible for a relationship through the resurrection. Now, sometime we're going to get into the resurrection, because it's fascinating how much power there is. The power of the resurrection is what made us being right with God possible. It's what made us being a child of God possible. We could be forgiven, but we had to have the resurrection. That's why it's so important to believe in a risen Savior. In a risen Savior. But that's what he's talking about here. He was given over. He was raised because of our justification. The fact that he is alive, the fact that he has conquered death, gives us that. So, how do we have hope today? Because this is Abraham's hope. So can we, like Abraham, believe on God's promises, even though we don't see them? I mean, Abraham believed. He tried to help God along, which didn't help at all. But he still believed. He didn't waver that God said it would happen. Okay, but God gave him specific promises. You say, well, wait a second. My leg hurts. Wait a second. I've got this person with cancer. Wait a second. I've had my finances are going nuts here. Wait a second. Car's breaking down. Standard. Wait a second. Okay. What is it that we... Because does God... Let me ask you something. Does God promise us good health? Does he promise us riches? Does he promise us a car that's not demon-possessed? I've never read that in Scripture. Does he promise us perfect relationships here on this earth? No, he doesn't. That's what we pray for. That's what we want. In fact, oftentimes that's what we expect from God, because he's God. He wouldn't want us to have these problems. You see how we input our will into what God's heart is? So what does he promise us? Well, he promises us never, never to leave us, never, never, never to forsake us. That's a promise of God. He promises his love. He promises to hear and answer our prayers. He promises us eternal life. He promises to be closer than a brother. He promises to be there in trials. He promises to come again to make it obvious to all what the truth is. He promises to make the church his bride. He promises to wipe away every tear. Will he do any of these promises? Every one of them. Every one of them. Because he said it. It's like Abraham. See, that's the faith of Abraham. God said it. You remember that old saying, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. Whether you believe it or not, it's settled. Because God said it. There's the key. God said it. If he said it, it will be. He promises you. Even what we expect, what we desire is an answer to the prayer that's favorable to us, right? Because we don't want to be hurt. So can we trust God even though we are hurt? Can we trust God even though there is issues, there are problems, there are relational difficulties? Can we still trust God in it? Folks, if God says it, it will be. And that's the way Abraham looked at it. Now, Abraham tried to help him along and got in all sorts of problems. But Abraham never wavered. He never went back, you know, is God right? Is he wrong? Did he goof on this one? He didn't do that. Abraham said, God said it, it will be. It is true. That's the faith of Abraham. That is the faith that we can follow in Abraham's footsteps with. And it is credited as righteousness to us. It's not earned. It's not something God had to give. It's what he wanted to give when we believe, when we put our trust in the resurrected Jesus Christ. He has promised to logically credit righteousness to our account when we believe. If you have never trusted in Jesus Christ, trust like Abraham did. Believe in what God says. And you know what? He will take that and build it. And in a passive, in a way that I can't even, he will build it in your life, in my life, to where it shows to others. Because you know what? This life is for not for you alone. Your faith is shown to others to show others Jesus Christ. Your life is showing others whose you are. You realize that? Isn't it fun to be a child of his? If you've never trusted in him, I would invite you today. Trust in your Savior. Trust in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Not the dead one in the. No, he's not dead in the tomb. He's risen. Yes, forgiveness has been accomplished. He said, it is finished. Forgiveness of sins is accomplished. But new life is given because of the resurrection. God raised him from the dead so that we can have a living Savior, so that we can have a living advocate, which is another promise. We have an advocate in Jesus Christ who sits at the right hand of the Father. And every time that Satan accuses a brother and says, did you see what Mark did? That big dummy? He's your child. And did you see what he did? I'd kick him. And Jesus says, I died for that sin. And God says, acquitted. Acquitted. We have forgiveness completely, but you know what? We also have new life because of the resurrection, because he's there. He is sitting there as our acquittal guy, whatever you call that. Our advocate. That's it, advocate. Isn't that fun? We have a God who's amazing, who has created the universe and the stars and holds it in the palm of his hand and is so, it's so intricate, it's so vast and amazing, and yet he loves us that much. He loves us that much. But you know what? It's not all for us. Trust him. In every circumstance, trust him. And by the way, as opponents to this will tell you, this is blind faith. This is not blind faith. Trusting Jesus Christ and what he says, trusting this word that God has given is not blind faith. It is informed faith. It is faith because he has given us his word. It is informed. We have the Holy Spirit to interpret his word, to grow us, to lead us, to guide. We have the heart of God. Isn't that fun, being a Christian? It's so amazing. Abraham showed us that faith. Abraham had it way back then. We can have the same faith now. Let's close in prayer.